Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eric Mbonimpa. I'm from South Dakota State University. And today I'll be speaking about fertilization rate and landscape topography impact on life cycle, energy use, and emission from switchgrass-derived ethanol. And I did this work with my co-authors, Sandeep Kumar, Vance Owens, Rajesh Chintala, and James Stone. So in this talk, I'll introduce the cellulosic ethanol. I'll discuss about the benefits of switchgrass-derived ethanol and the impact nitrogen fertilization rate has on the emissions and energy use from switchgrass-derived ethanol. And also, I'll talk about the landscape topography impacts on these emissions and energy use, and then conclude my talk. So as you may be aware, U.S. Energy Independence and Security Act mandated a greater share of second-generation biofuels. The mandate said by the year 2022, we should produce 36 billion gallons of biofuels, of which 21 billion should come from non-cornstarch feedstock. So the picture I put on the slide showed. So that we can make cellulosic ethanol from crops biomass or perennial grasses. So the ethanol from crops, it has issues of food security and some environmental issues, and the ethanol from perennial grass is believed to be more sustainable, as I will discuss in this talk. And now, at the gas pump, you can see that the ethanol mixture into gasoline is a well-established energy for transportation. So what are the benefits of these cellulosic-derived biofuels? First of all, they are believed to be cleaner than existing non-renewable fuels. Their use could lead to reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which can decelerate global warming and its consequences, but also has other ecological benefits such as sea sequestration, reduction in erosion, biodiversity, and improving soil quality of marginal lands. So one feedstock plant is switchgrass, which is native to many regions of the USA. It's efficient in biomass production. However, there's uncertainty about feedstock production because in literature there are many fertilization rates that resulted in varying yields. Some areas they add pesticide, others add potassium and phosphorus, and while other areas they don't use potassium, depending upon the quality of soil. And also there's differences in machinery used. So all these, how do they affect the overall emissions from switchgrass-derived ethanol? So the objective of this study was to analyze nitrogen rate and landscape topography impact on life cycle, greenhouse gas emission, and energy use. And the approach we used in this study, we used life cycle analysis in this slide. This is the boundary of the system we considered. And this system has three main steps. The first step is biomass production, where you have agricultural inputs such as fertilizer, herbicide, and these inputs are transported to the farm where switchgrass is grown and then transported to ethanol plant. And the pathway we chose is fermentation pathway, where you have inputs such as enzymes, water, steam, acid, lime, and nutrients. And at the ethanol production level, there's also a co-production of electricity, which can be used again in the ethanol plant or can be sold to the grid. And the last step is here, first of all, before they use the ethanol, they mix with gasoline at different ratios. For instance, 10% ethanol, 90% gasoline, which is called E10, and 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline, which is used in flex fuel vehicles and some advanced technology of using E85, which is a little bit more efficient than normal flex fuel vehicles. So for modeling, I used a grid model, which is a greenhouse gas related emission and energy use transportation model. It's a well-established model authored by Argonne National Lab. So this model has output as emission of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide. It has also emission of volatile organic carbon, carbon monoxide, NOx, SOx, and particulate matter of different sizes. But also it accounts for different energy use, either fossil or non-fossil energies. So because of the variability at the farm level, we grew switchgrass in South Dakota. We had a split plot factory design with different nitrogen rate varying from 0, 50, and 100 pounds per acre. And these different nitrogen rate generated different biomass yield. So these differences at the farm level allowed us to have many scenarios to input in grid models. We have different yields. You have different fertilizer per yield amount. You have different herbicide per ton of yield, because this model usually accounts for the input per unit yield of the biomass. So you have different energies because we accounted for the machinery we use, how many hours, and the energy used by those machines. And we also know the nitrogen content of the biomass, the harvest correction rate, and we also measured greenhouse gas emission at the farm. So all these form the scenarios for the grid model. We also accounted for topography impact. Our topography has elevated position, which we call the shoulder, and we also have a lower level, which we call a full slope. And we believe because of erosion from the shoulder to the foot slope, the nutrients are transported from shoulder to the foot slope, which made the foot slope have more yield, more carbon dioxide because of high activity, microbial activity at the foot slope. We also measured the soil carbon, so at the foot slope we even have higher carbon. So all these changes because of topography also allowed us to make different scenarios to input in the grid model. So we had different biomass, different fertilizer per yield, and herbicide and farming energy per unit biomass yield. So all these scenarios were simulated with grid model, and the results. So this graph on this slide shows the percentage change relative to regular gasoline. So as you can see, although the switchgrass-derived ethanol incur more total energy than regular gasoline, however, you have lower fossil fuels energy use. So it's better because it uses more. It uses less fossil fuels compared to the whole life cycle of gasoline. We also have lower coal usage and petroleum usage. We also observed lower greenhouse gas emission in total, especially coming from carbon dioxide because of carbon sequestration and photosynthesis. We also had lower emission of methane. I'll discuss later about nitrous oxide. I didn't put it on this figure because it has a really high peak. We'll discuss it later. Also, we saw reduction in particulate matter of 2.5 microns or less. But other criteria like SOx, NOx, and carbon monoxide and volatile organic carbon, they were higher than regular gasoline. And on this graph, the blue was when we mixed 10%. The red was for 85% ethanol, and the green was for more advanced technologies of using E85. So the impact, we looked at the impact of nitrogen rate on the greenhouse gas emission. On this graph, I divided the whole life cycle into the three main steps of switchgrass derived ethanol. So there's the feedstock production, the fuel generation, and the vehicle operation. So you can see for at zero nitrogen rate, we had the feedstock step had negative greenhouse gas emission, means there's more reduction of greenhouse gas emission because of feedstock production, especially due to carbon dioxide consumed through photosynthesis. So this negative value will reduce the whole total gas emissions. Also, you can see the in comparison to gasoline and E10, which has higher gasoline content, you have more emission. As we increase the nitrogen rate, we saw that this benefit of carbon dioxide reduction, they were reducing as you increase the nitrogen rate. Also, we observed that the landscape also affect these emissions, greenhouse gas emission. Of course, at the foot slope where you have higher yield, that means there's more reduction of carbon dioxide. That's why we observe a low amount of greenhouse gas emissions. And for nitrous oxide, of course, because of nitrogen addition, we have more nitrous oxide in comparison to gasoline. And at zero nitrogen rate, the landscape didn't impact the nitrous oxide emission. But at high nitrogen rate, we saw a big difference with the shoulder elevated position having more nitrous oxide in the life cycle compared to the foot slope. Also, the fossil fuel use, of course, when you increase nitrogen rate, you're increasing the amount of nitrogen which is produced using energy, and there's emission involved in production of nitrogen. So that's why at the feedstock production level, we saw a little bit of increase of fossil fuel energy because of just increasing of nitrogen fertilization. So in conclusion, we saw that the life cycle of switchgrass ethanol, it has less fossil fuel by about 60 to 77%, lower greenhouse gas emission by 37 to 82%, and particulate matter of 2.5 microns and less, they reduced by 20 to 40% in comparison to gasoline. The nitrogen rate increased this greenhouse gas emission, water organic carbon, and criteria pollutant by up to twofold. And the biomass at the foot slope of fertilized plots, there was linked to less greenhouse gas emission, VOCs, and criteria pollutants. And also, switchgrass, these benefits are reduced if you decide to uproot switchgrass and maybe change the crop without reaching the maximum stand life of the switchgrass, because the energy involved in when the switchgrass is being established is distributed to all the years the switchgrass is harvested. So for future work, we also explore more fuel pathways and whether these our results can be replicate to other geographic locations. So
yes, if there's time for one quick question. Okay, thank you.